Well, good morning, everybody. And daylight saving time, so we saved our time, everybody. I'm glad everybody's here for church. And the ones that's on their way, amen. I just thank God. But today we're going to let's pray real quick and invite God's presence in this place and invite his peace in this place. Father God, we just thank you for an opportunity to be in your presence. Lord God, we thank you for you being here with us and you're providing everything for us. Jesus, you're welcome in this place. God, you're welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. And Father God, we just thank you for your presence and your peace in this message. And Father God, I thank it and be all of you and none of me. Speak to my mind and speak to my vocal cords, Lord God. Let something be said that'll bring peace and healing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this morning, we're not going to be before you long. I want to share a few things with you. And today, I want to talk about something that's going to stir you up. I'm always believing in something to bring encouragement to your spirit and peace in your soul. what we want to talk about is the power of having unwavering faith. Basically, faith over fear, but how to have unwavering faith, faith that's not waving back and forth. How many know the word says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways? Do not let that man think he shall receive anything from God. God don't want us to be double-minded. But at the same time, we know we have a spiritual side and we have a human side. But he does not want us to be double-minded. And that's the reason why we keep the word of God in us and we keep God's word in us. The word, I'm going to give a definition of something and we're going to get some scriptures and get us going. Unwavering faith means that you trust God with your life more than you trust yourselves. It means that you trust his timing. Even when you're in your own ability, you believe your timing is running out. You trust his timing. You have patience. Patience is consistently staying the same. It's not going back and forth. It's when you don't see the results you don't think you should see, and you heard God on what to do, you must not waver back and forth. You must stay consistent in God. A person that's wavering is double-minded. God says sometime in our own ability, we see things that don't make sense in our own strength. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. If God has told you something to do, don't let your faith waver. Continue to trust God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall what? Direct thy what? Path. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy path. So in all thy ways acknowledge him. A path that's something that God has told you to do, and it may not seem in your, that it's not coming through the way you think it should, but you know God told you to do it. If you know that God told you to do something, do not at this time let your faith begin to waver. You must trust God with all your heart. Leaning to your own understanding is made what you see in your own ability. The doctor may have told you you were sick, but in your body, you still feel the symptoms of the sickness. But the word of God says, by his stripes, you're healed. And you believe that God's word told you you're healed. But in your own ability, you still feel the symptoms of the sickness. Sometimes you can hear something that may seem like it may be facts on what happened, or what the doctor has said about you, or something when it comes time to your finances, or anything in that nature. But when you have truth, know the truth and the truth shall set you free. How shall the truth set you free? It will set you free when it looks like in your own ability that things not working out. You still must what? Trust God. Your own ability, you may be looking at stuff and say, well, God, you told me something and something happened and I didn't expect it to happen. That don't mean that God is not still with you. Sometimes when you're walking on a path and you're doing something, it may continue. It may require you to continue to keep going, to keep pushing. Notice something in the word. He said, trial and tribulation will come, but be ye of good cheer. I have overcome the troubles of the world. That's why he didn't say it was going to work out perfectly every time. Sometimes when we do something and we really feel we heard God and we don't get the end results that we think we should get, something don't turn out right, and we get discouraged and we get frustrated and we get weary and we want to give up quick, because you say, well, God, you told me something was going to happen and something didn't happen the way you expected it to happen. Maybe you applied for something with college and you took a test and didn't take the test and didn't get quite score that you wanted to get, and you believe God told you to go there. That don't mean because you didn't get what you didn't want to get, don't mean you don't keep going. Take the test again and continue in faith. Things will happen in life sometime in our own ability that we don't understand. But the path that you must see that God has you on is bigger than your strength and your own ability. In your own ability, you may say, how can God use me to do this? In your own ability, you say, how is this going to happen? It don't look like it's going to happen. Maybe you believe in God for a house and the first time you applied for it and it didn't go through like you wanted it to go through. Well, guess what? Get yourself together, get your credit in order, and go back and do it again. Race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but the ones that endure to the end. A person that's unwavering, which is one of my favorite things, is they don't quit. They keep pushing. A wavering faith. Keep your faith strong. Keep your faith going. Go to 2 Timothy verse 1 and 7. Don't let your faith waver. If God told you something to do, keep doing it. Don't be double-minded. If God told you to do something, keep pushing. You got that business idea you're working on just because you came a bump in the road. That don't mean it ain't one that God didn't tell you to do it. It's not going to just be always a smooth path. The devil don't want you to succeed, but God wants you to succeed. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but I like this, but of power and of love and the what? Sound mind. For God has not given you the spirit of fear. I'm reading a little more on that. By the power, love, and the sound mind, but be not thou therefore ashamed the testimony of our Lord, nor of the prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I'm going to read on down to verse 10. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has given us to Christ Jesus before the Lord, before the world began. But it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. But I want to go back up to verse 7. I want to hit on this for a minute. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Think about fear for a minute. Fear is timidness, afraid. Fear is, break it down, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. The devil's job now, if you have a calling on your life or things that God wants you to do, he wants you to get into what? Fear. He wants you to think that it can't happen. False evidence appearing real. He wants you to say there's no way possible this can happen for you. So notice this scripture says God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of what? Of power, of what? Love, and of what? A sound mind. Power of love and a sound mind. So power, but God, but of power. What's power? Power is something to overcome something when it looks like it can't be done. When we watch these movies, because I like X-Men and all that, and you see these guys with these superpowers in these movies, and they can do extra things in this movie, that's a form of power in a movie. But when it comes to God, he says, but he has given you power. What's the power that he has given you? The power to overcome the fear of the devil making you think it can't come happen. I'm going to say it again. What is fear? Say it with me, fear is what? False what? Evidence of what? Appearing real. It ain't real. The devil tried to make you think he put up a smoke screen. This can't happen to you. Look what happened. Everything. Let me tell you something. When you're with God, things is not going to say life is perfected. He's perfecting those things that's concerning you. Something when something happened when you don't quite understand or respect, that means God is still perfecting you. I didn't pass the test, or I didn't pass the PT. I didn't do this. I did. That don't mean God ain't with you. You have to still know that God is perfecting those things that concern you. So when sometimes unexpected things happen that we don't understand, that don't mean God is not with you on your journey. The devil's job is to trip you up and to make you stop, or to get you in fear, or to make you think something that you can't do it. Give up, cave in, quit, unwavering. I'm in fear. God is not giving you the fear. Fear comes from the enemy. Say it again. Fear comes from where? The enemy. He wants you to be in fear. He wants you to be in doubt. He wants you to be in disbelief. He wants to say there's no way God could do that. But I like what the scripture says here. But he has given you power of love and a what? A sound mind. A sound mind is a whole and complete mind to know that in this situation, God will take care of me. In this situation, I will win. In this situation, I am an overcomer. If you see yourself like that, don't let the fear be false, evidence appearing real. You know, the scripture says Satan comes as a roaring lion. You know what that means? He's not really a lion. He looks like a lion. He's scary, but when he opens up his mouth and try to bite you, guess what? He ain't got no teeth. Arr. What can he do? Gumming. He's as a roaring lion. So if he can appear to you in fear, guess what? That's what you're going to do. You're going to let that false evidence appear real. You're going to let that lion that look like he's intimidating, and when he goes to bite, he ain't got no teeth. You have power over the enemy in every aspect. That's why God says, I ain't giving you the spirit of fear. So if God ain't giving you the spirit of fear, where did fear come from? The enemy, right? Enemy job is to kill, steal, and destroy. His job, according to John 10 to 10, he wants you to think, he wants you to quit your destiny. He wants you to quit your dreams. He wants you to quit what God told you to do. He wants you to think it can't happen. He wants you to say it's no way possible. And when sometime, when something happens that tries to stop you, you must keep going. You must keep pushing. Just because you went for that one contract that started your business and you didn't get the first one, go again. Keep continually going. Don't let your faith waver back and forth. Don't be double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Do not let that man think he shall receive anything from God if you're double-minded. Say that with me. I will not be double-minded. I will be consistent in God. When you stay consistent, that's what makes the devil afraid. A double-minded person going back and forth. Who would want to be with a double-minded person back and forth? Can't make them make a decision. I like what it says. A love and a sound mind. A sound mind means my mind is sound and complete, and I know that God is with me. My mind is sound and complete, and I know that God will never leave me nor forsake me. Why? Because I'm connected to me. Like the scripture we read this morning, you have a covenant with God. Do you know a covenant means God is an obligation to take care of you, bless you, increase you when you have a covenant with him? So when you get born again and you have Christ now in you, you have accepted him. Now you have a covenant with Christ Jesus himself. To God that you have divine protection. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to be saved when you got divine protection from heaven? Who wouldn't want to know Jesus when you have divine protection from heaven? That you got a God looking down on you and loving on you and want to see you succeed. Say it with me. God wants to see me succeed. God wants to see me win. When you see that in your mindset, the false evidence appearing real, the devil's job is to try to take that from you in your thoughts. In your mind, to make you start saying I can't because one obstacle came to try to stop you. Don't you dare quit. Get up and overcome that obstacle. You got to look at life like running a hurdle. When you're running a race and you hit that first hurdle, if you follow the first one, you get up and you keep going. Winners don't quit. They keep winning. Wavering. Don't be back and forth. Don't be like, well, God, if this happened, why did that happen? Don't you give up and quit. The devil wants you to, he don't want you to win and see the promises that God has for you. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. The promises that God has for you. The yay, the yay. He don't want you to see those promises. He wants you to be give up and say it ain't possible. He wants you to say you ain't a winner. What I said, 1 Peter 5 and 10. A matter of fact, I'm going to read verse 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. The Bible get good. But it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in what? Due time. Say it again. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, therefore, that he may exalt you in due time. I'm going to break that down for a minute. In due time. See, sometimes our timing is different from God's timing. God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So sometimes we're thinking, well, in our timing, we think it should happen right now when we want it to happen. And when it don't happen, we get frustrated. Why ain't it happen right now? It should, oh, you get all the devil say, I get frustrated. No, but God just said, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in what? Due time. There's a time. See, there's a due time. See, people forget that there's seed time and there's harvest time. But there's seed and there, people forget, I call it the sandwich book. There's timing sometime before the harvest takes place. You're working on something and you're sowing the seeds for it. But don't forget sometime it takes the timing. During that timing, sometime you're being matured and preparing you for the harvest to come. Seed time or the due time. Don't forget it takes the time. It is not always an automatic thing. It's not always like popping in the microwave in a minute the food is warm. That's how. But when it comes to God, sometimes our timing is different than his timing. Sometimes we can get off in our timing and say, God, it should have went this way. And God say, no, it need to go this way. But what we got to get back to do is, we read the scripture this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your what? Own understanding. Your own understanding is saying, why didn't it go that way? When it comes to God, you're not perfected. You're perfecting. You have an excellent spirit, but you're not perfect. Excellent spirit is pushing toward achieving and becoming better. Excellent spirit, again, is pushing and achieving toward becoming better. The only one that's perfect is Christ, is God. We as Christians are developing and becoming more and more in his image every day. He wants us to be more like him. It requires us to have patience. I'm going to go in a minute, but keep reading on down. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he what? He careth for you. Verse 7. Casting all your care. Your casting upon your care mean he cares for you, mean casting all your care. Mean your care and your ability and your strength. Our bodies wasn't designed to worry and stress for and try to make things happen in your own ability. In God's ability, when you cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. I like how it says here in verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, look at that, I just read that, as a what roaring lion? As a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he what may devour. Who he may devour. That means it's an opportunity. He could and he couldn't. It didn't say who he will devour. It says whom he what may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make your perfect establish, strength, settle you. How does your strength become perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you? Because the process sometimes you don't understand. But when you go through the process and you see God do things and happen in your life during the process, you'll say, my God, that took a time to get the process. But once I got through the process and I seen God do it, that settles you. Once I got through the process, it's almost like sports. Once that coach got you doing all that training and you tired and you frustrated, but when you get there, you play better. You're in more physical shape. During the process, you didn't understand it. But same thing with God. During the process, if things not going right the way you think they should go, that don't mean that God is not with you. That means he's still with you, but you must continue to go. Satan's job is to discourage you, to try to make you quit. That's what he sit back and do. Let me see. Because most time, see, a lot of times Hollywood make the devil just seem like this dude with horns and red eyes and rawr. And the devil is a subtle individual. He wants to try to, he studies people to try to figure out how can I stop them from accomplishing what God has for them. He watches and observes. And one of his number one tools he tries to do is what? Discouragement. If he can discourage you to say, you can't do this, or if something happened where you didn't understand it right away, you must continue in the faith. And when you see that God, and that's going to create the patience for you. Go to Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You must not let your faith waver. You must continually walk in God, even if it's sometimes you don't feel the way you think it should feel. That don't mean that God is not with you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Here's some things to encourage you. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Verse 22. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So this is Galatians talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's a whole other sermon, but I'm bringing to this. The fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy and peace. And I like this, long-suffering, I'm going to break that down. Long-suffering don't mean walking around looking mealy-mouthed and broke, don't have none. Long-suffering means knowing that during the long-suffering means suffering. I want you to don't think your mind is suffering, walk around, I'm suffering for the Lord, let me get $2. That don't what that mean. Suffering means during the patience, I'm trusting God still. So the suffering is the buffering of the flesh to believe what the word says. That makes sense? Long suffering is the buffering of the flesh to believe what God's word says. Sometimes church makes, like I said, long suffering. You just, I'm suffering in the Lord, suffering. I'm broke, don't have anything, and I'm sick, and I'm suffering. That's not. Suffering is buffering with the flesh to what the Spirit of God says about a situation. Buffering the flesh to what God's word says about your situation. And when you're buffering the flesh, now you have what? Gentleness. See, guess what? During the process of you believing God, if you don't have the Spirit of joy, of peace, if you don't have long suffering to know that God is buffering the flesh to believe what the Spirit says, guess what? You'll be frustrated. You won't have gentleness. When you let him buffering the flesh and believe what the word says, gentleness, you have gentleness. You have goodness. You have faith. See, one sign of you in the flesh, and that's how God breaks us down. We have a spirit, soul, and body. We have our spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a physical body. So when we have the buffering of the flesh, now we have knowing what the word of God says. That produces gentleness. I'm going to show you the opposite when you don't do it. So when you buffering the flesh, the long suffering is the buffering of the flesh. The long suffering is the buffering to stay patient. The buffering to stay with God. Guess what the devil first thing want to do is tell you, quit, give up. This God stuff ain't real. God ain't real. Why are you praying? Why are you in your word? Why are you going to church? This stuff ain't, give up. It ain't real. But you know what he's afraid of? He's afraid of you becoming stronger in God. When you're buffering that flesh, when the flesh say, give up, when the devil say, give up, why don't you just go out there and do something wrong? This stuff don't make no sense. Give up. His commandments are not grievous. God gives you a commandment to do something, to keep going, and the end result is going to be goodness. It's going to be great. So if you have buffering the flesh, you're going to have gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And now another form, lust is not always just sexual sin. That's part of it too. Or drinking and lying. Lust could be wanting your own way instead of what God says. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another. Another evil. So when you have that, and I want you to see, so when you have God's spirit in you, you have God's love in you. You have God's peace in you. And I want to show you something while you're in there. Look at verse 16 in Galatians 5 while we're in there. This is the opposite of not having God's peace or not letting your flesh be buffering. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. I mean, it goes contrary to what God's word says. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one of another. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you are led by the Spirit, and let me get you good, the led by the Spirit means walking by what the Word of God says, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, immolations, wrath, strife. See, another form of you not walking in the spirit or what the word says are buffering the flesh. If you have hatred, strife, hatred and strife is a form of the flesh. The devil wants you to have strife. The Bible said what strife is, there's what? Every evil work. The devil want to get you fussing. You know, it's times, it's things in my career or what I'm doing in life. If I get around folks who always want to fuss, I back away. Because if you let strife come in your heart, your house, and things you do, and you're constantly fussing, that's a form of going against the spirit. Wrath, strife, all those things are not a form of buffering of the flesh. So part of you staying focused and non-wavering with God is not allowing your flesh to control you and get weary. The Bible says, be weary not in well doing. You will reap if you what? Galatians 6:9, read that. We're right over there now. Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not be weary in what? Well doing, for in, I like this again, for in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. In due season. It didn't say tomorrow, the next day. It said in due season. In your timing, you will reap if you what? Faint not. If you faint, you won't see. Faint means to give up, cave in, and quit. It's to stop believing. Oh, this stuff ain't real. I'm so tired of this stuff. The devil said, oh, good. Faint not. Keep pushing. You set your goals up for the beginning of this year. Start checking, stop still doing the same thing. Don't stop believing. Don't stop pushing. Don't give up. Don't get weary in well doing. Nothing wrong with resting. Nothing wrong with regrouping. But don't get weary, because you will reap if you faint not. This ain't the time to faint.
Don't get wavering. Don't let the devil talk in your ear. When the devil starts talking, say, devil, you shut up. I ain't got time for that. I believe God's word and get up and keep doing. Man, you see what happened? God, you said nothing. It's not perfection. It's perfecting. It's becoming. And when you see that, when something happened that you don't understand, he says, lean not to thy own understanding, but all thy ways acknowledge him and lead and guide, direct your path. So when something comes and is disappointing to what you thought should have happened, that is the time to still trust God. When something happens and you go, I thought it was going to happen like this. I thought it should happen this way. God said, nah, maybe it didn't happen that way, but you still trust me. Maybe somebody, you know, sports, they want to win the championship, but they didn't win the game. They said, God, I thought I was going to win. That don't mean God don't love you. That don't mean it didn't work out. You get up, you regroup, and you still trust God, and you continue to work God. I thought I was going to make this on this test, and I didn't make it on this test. Well, that don't mean God don't with you. You regroup, you get up, you keep going, and that means you still trust God. God is still with you. Just because something occurred that you don't understand, that don't mean God is not with you. He's still with you during the process. With Christ is not perfected. You're perfecting. You're becoming. I don't know if it was any heavy with that, but I got some more scripture I want to share. But go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. You're becoming. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, be confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Be confident. So the work he's began a good work in you. He's working a work in you. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? Until Jesus come back or you leave this earth or while you're here, you're not, he's building you. He's performing in you. He's working in you. I said, how did God perform in me? Because when God performs in you, when God does something for you, through you, what do you see? Now your faith is increased. When something happens and you win, your faith is increased. Now, I'm going to say this too. When something happens and you don't understand what happened, that don't mean that God is not with you. You get up, you regroup, and you keep going. That is a form of God performing in you. See, the performing thing is that you're not quitting. A real champion, because I like sports, a real champion, if they lose a game, they must regroup to go to the next game. They can't sit there and power. I lost that game. Well, you like, okay, get up, regroup your shot, shoot some more, do a little more, but they must go to the next game to keep the process going. That's the performing that God has in you. He wants you to go to the next game. He wants you to go to the next level. If something happened that you don't understand, regroup, get up, but keep fighting. So be confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work will in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. A good work in you. He's performing it in you. He's working in you. And the better you do it, the more you believe, the more you keep going, and the more you keep reading. Go to Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38, I'm going to read this on. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He don't want you to draw back. Because the main thing of he wants you to see the perfecting that's in you. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe. I like this right here. And I highlighted this. The saving of the soul. I said, I saw it this morning. The believe to the saving of the soul. How is the saving of the soul? What is the saving? To believe of the saving of the soul. I told you, we're spirit. We have a soul and we live in a physical body. Three-part being. Saving of the soul is God also saves your soul from hell when you're born again. But what God gave me revelation on this was saving of the soul and your mind, your feeling, your thinker, your chooser. Once you see God do it for you, your soul begins to believe. Remember Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Saving of your soul is when you see God do it one time for your life, in your life, and you see him doing it again, your soul begins to believe. Your spirit can be born again. But what you work on now in your Christian walk is your mind, your process, your filler, your thinker, your chooser. So the saving of the soul, see, guess what? The saving of the soul is that once you see God do it for you one time, two times, three times, the saving of the soul and the mind, you won't quit. The saving of the soul, the mind, you won't quit. Yeah, he saved from hell, but the soul, the mind, the saving of the soul, you won't quit. Now it makes sense of my God. So what God, when you're saving the soul, your mind is constantly renewing of saying, if God did it one time, he'll do it again. God constantly, the devil wants to break that. He wants to break that. But now, and that's how you build a relationship with God. When he talks to you in your private time. When he tells you something when it looks impossible, I tell you, God can make it possible. That's the saving of the soul. Saving of the soul is when others say stuff and they try to get inside to say, ain't no way you can do that. It ain't be loved ones because they don't see what God has told you. You must know in you what God told you to do. 3 John 2, it says, beloved, I wish of all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your what? Soul prosper. Your soul, ooh, thank you. Your soul is growing. Your mind is growing. See, the devil don't want your mind to grow in God. He don't want you born again either, but he don't really want you to grow. He'd rather you go to church and just leave and shout a little bit and jump around a little bit and say some things and say hallelujah. But he don't want your soul to grow. So 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul, your mind begins to elevate and increase. And an elevated mind in Christ is a non-quitting mind. Say, I ain't going to quit God no matter what. I don't understand what happened, but I ain't going to quit God no matter what. I ain't going to give up no matter what. That's a non-quitting, a prosperous soul. See, my mind is in my, the older I get in God, my mindset is quitting God ain't an option ever. You say it to yourself, quitting God ain't never an option. I don't understand what happened. I don't quite know what happened. I understand everything, but quitting God, I ain't never going to do that. Because my soul is so advanced in God that I can't never leave God. I can't never see myself with him, without him. A saving soul, the devil don't want your soul to prosper. When your soul prospers, a lot of folks just talk about money and all. There's nothing wrong with having that when you do it in the right perspective with God. But a soul in God is an unwavering spirit soul. And say, I ain't going to quit God no matter what. My grandmama died, I don't know why I prayed, Lord, and they didn't come through. I don't know what happened. Well, I don't understand everything, but I still got to trust God. I still got to stay with God. I have to have a strong, anchored soul. An anchored soul, when you see a soul that's anchored, like when you take a boat and you go out in the midst of the road of the river or the ocean, whatever, and you take an anchor and you throw that anchor out and it goes down to the bottom. Once that anchor is there, that boat can't move no more. Anything can hit it, that anchor has that boat stuck there because it's anchored. You know, I say my soul has been anchored in God. So an anchored soul is a non-quitting soul. He don't want your soul to be anchored. Your spirit can be saved, but a developed soul, mind, filler, thinker, chooser. When you have that, now when you read that scripture, now you see it says, now then faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. Now you have an anchored soul. Now you believe what faith says. Faith says when it looks like it can't be done, it can be done with God on my side. But notice something. Faith is a substance of things hopeful. And evidence of things not seen is a substance. It's a substance of you, a strength in you that you could get because your faith don't waver. A substance about you. Quitting God ain't an option. Say it with me. Quitting God is not an option. So when you have that in it, you have a strong soul to say, I don't care what it looked like. I don't understand what happened, but my soul is never going to quit God. Prayed for somebody could say, I prayed for my mom and she passed away. I don't understand, but I still got to believe God. My soul is anchored that I never quit and never give up God. An anchored soul is a developed soul. A developed soul is a soul that will stay with God. You can have a changed spirit. And I'm going to teach you something, but a developed soul is what God wants to develop. When you have that, you have so much strength that goes on. Ooh, time running up. I got a lot to share, but I got to get ready to close it down. Go to, we did that. Go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Get good. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor. There we go. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now, that makes sense. An anchor of the soul, but of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the into that within the veil. An anchored soul. There we go again. An anchor of a soul. An anchor of a soul. An anchor of a soul. An anchored soul says, I will not move and I will not walk away from my development in God. What I always tell you at church, the devil ain't scared of you going to church. You know what the devil's afraid of? What are you afraid of? When you get developed. When you say, I ain't quitting God no matter what. God developed me. You used me. Created me a clean heart and renewed the right spirit within me. Lord, use me. Do whatever you need to do with me. He's afraid of a Christian that gets developed. When a Christian start getting developed and know who they are, you can walk places and people to know. Like I told you the testimony, I ain't got to say, and I told you what happened at the job, and God's presence shows up in places. The devil don't want your soul to be anchored. He wants you, you know, to hear the song say, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Those are things that the devil don't want you to do. Now go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by the name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she might be what? Healed, and she shall what? Live. So here we go. Jairus, he was believing that Jesus was a healer. Before he even brought him to his house, he believed that Jesus was a healer. He knew that Jesus was a healer. How did that get to Jairus? I told you that before. When the man who was preaching, the man who was the madman of Gadara, who had a devil in him, got well, got healed, and began to preach, and he heard it. So in his soul, in his mind, he knew that there was hope. A soul that keeps hope keeps life. A soul that loses hope has no peace. I'm going to keep reading. As he besought him greatly, saying, my daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and she suffered many things, many physicians, and she had spent all she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, what does hearing of Jesus do? What did it do for her? It had faith in her soul. And when she heard of Jesus, of what he had did, what did she hear? The man who preached to her, the man who was possessed by the devils, she heard that he was a healer through him. And when came in and pressed and touched his garment, and for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague, of the sickness. And Jesus, immediately knowing that in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee. Who sayest thou who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue a certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troubles the master any further?" Now that's what I see here. Here, Jairus had already came to Jesus. Jesus was walking with him. He saw the woman with the issue of blood. She got healed. Now here comes somebody saying, "Jairus, don't trouble Jesus no more. Your daughter dead." In other words, stop believing. In other words, don't believe no more. Let it go. She dead, man. So what could Jairus could have did right here? Jairus could have, he had a chance to either walk away or keep believing. Walk away or keep believing. Now see this here. When he chose to not walk, and he looked, and when Jesus, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." But what got me here with this? Here, destiny was made with Jairus by him keep believing. See, Jairus had a choice with the ruler of the synagogue. When that doubt came, when the unwavering came, he could have said, "You know what? Don't worry about it, Jesus. We good. She dead. Let's go home." Jesus looked at him and said, "Now you got a choice here to do. Either keep believing or walk away. What you gonna do?" He looked at him and said, "I'm gonna keep believing. Come on, Jesus." So they kept believing. So they go walking to the house. When they get to the house, we know the story, and everybody screaming and hollering, and, "Oh, she dead, it's over. Well, Lord, don't even wear my baby dead." They said, funeral home with the picker up, take her out. Everybody was there for her to leave. But what got me here with this, Jairus had to keep believing. Sometimes your believing ain't just about you. Sometimes your keep believing is destiny tied into you keep believing. The destiny that was tied into Jairus's keep believing was his daughter was dead. And when Jesus, and this just to put your story up a little quicker, when Jesus walked in, got rid of the doubt and unbelief, guess what? That's something else he did. He noticed something that Jesus did. You got to use in life. Anyone's not believing, you can't tell everybody your stuff, even sometimes family. If they're not believing, don't share everything with them. Notice what Jesus did. He told all the doubt folks, you, get out. Sometimes you have to be around folk, but you have to share all what's in you because your heart, I had to learn this. My heart, I want everybody to succeed, but everybody don't want to succeed and everybody don't want you to succeed. And my downfall, I'll be working on something and I tell everybody, "Oh man, I'm working on this. Oh, I'm working on that." Everybody ain't for you. You got some haters. You got some folk don't want to see you get ahead. You got some folk want to see you down. So I like what Jesus did here. He said, "Hey, you get out. Jairus, your wife, Peter and John and James, let's go in this room." And he called those things that be not as though they were. He said, "Why makest ye," verse 39, "ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. Sometimes when you were working on something, you say, "Man, I believe God, do this." I'm like, "What you going to, you? You going to do that, man? You can't do that. You know who you are. Ain't no way possible." Some dreams you working on, folks going to look at you and say, "You can't, you just keep believing." And they laughed at the scorn. When he put them all out, the laughters and the disbelief, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, which was Jairus and his wife, and they were with him, and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumah," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and command that something should be given to her to eat. What was amazing to me here, what if Jairus had quit? His first thing, his daughter wouldn't have had rose from the dead like she did. And Jairus told Jesus, don't worry about it, go on. Can you imagine what it did for his wife? Can you imagine what it did for his family? Can you imagine what it did for folks when they start believing in Jesus more because Jairus refused to quit? Sometimes your visions you're working on ain't just about you. It's the legacy you'll leave behind. It's the future you'll leave for your family and your children and your children's children. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. That could be money as well, but it also means values, integrity, or connection to Christ that you have. Jairus could have quit. He had somebody found, man, give up, man, it's over. Jairus, I said, hey, man, don't be afraid. Look at it. In other words, don't be in fear. Only believe. Keep believing. Keep pushing. I took the test. It make what I don't care. Do it again. Study. Regroup. God is with you. He's still with you. He's still perfecting you. He's still making you. And if you have that patience to keep going, now the race is not given to the swift, not to the strong, but the ones that would endure to the end. The ones that say, okay, I ain't quitting God no matter what. I don't care what. I ain't going to quit God. God said, oh, I got one. The devil wants you to quit. Remember, the devil don't like you. You can't fool with the devil. The devil's job is to kill, steal, and destroy. I seen folks getting God that want to get out and quit God, and you can't go back to the world. The world don't want you. The world don't like you. They're going to try to hurt you, destroy you. That's like going back on the devil's side, and you want to go back. I just give up. I'm going to go back to the world. And do what? The world don't want you. You have to continue to be the light, to be an example to others who need Christ. But also, God can perfect it in your soul for you. And you start saying, man, for me, I see God do so much. I've seen God bring me out so much that in my mind, I can't say, even if something don't turn out the way I expected to turn out, I still say, God is still with me. I don't care. God gonna make a way for me some way or another. That is what you have to believe. We're gonna do this last scripture. We're gonna go. We're about to end it because we're about to out. Jeremiah 29:11. We're gonna get out of here. Jeremiah 29:11. And when you have it, say amen. And it's the last scripture we're gonna go because my hour about up. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord of hosts. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace. There we go again. Not of evil. And to give you an expected end. Thoughts of peace. Not of evil. And to give you an expected end. That's how God thinks. No evil thoughts toward you. Thoughts of peace toward you. And to give you an expected end. Father God, we thank you right now for this word going forth today. We thank you, Lord God, that our soul is anchored in you. We thank you that our soul is anchored in Christ, that quitting you is not an option, and we will not waver back and forth. We will not be double-minded. We will stay connected to you, unmovable, always abiding in the word of the Lord. Father God, I pray over everybody that came out today. I pray peace over them. Say that with me. Say, Father God, I thank you that my faith will not waver. I will continue to trust you with my life. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.